I love college football. It's never far from us. And if you're new, welcome back to the morning show here. It's going to be a busy couple of hours as we get midway through the program here. 9 o'clock, 1 hour from now, Falcons General Manager Thomas Dimitroff joins us live. That's at 9, and that'll be followed at 9:20 by Braves legend and current coach Terry Pendleton. Talk a little hot stove, talk about the Braves and what we can expect as we count down towards spring training, which is knocking on the door here. I mean, about 5 weeks to pitchers and catchers. A lot going to be happening here over the next – February is going to be so busy. You think the busiest sports month of the year, Hugh, February. So much happens in February. I mean, you have the Super Bowl. You have the Daytona 500. You have the beginning of spring training, pitchers and catchers. Atlanta United season starts in February with the CONCACAF Champions League. You have
AAF.
Now AAF.
In February. So, yeah, it's a lot going on. A lot going on this year.
NBA, NHL, college basketball. It gets into the meat of the conference schedules. I mean, a lot going on, and even into conference tournaments in some cases. So, I mean, February, an extremely busy month coming up, and we'll talk about that with Terry Pendleton at 9:20. Hey, if you're kind of new to Atlanta, you go, boy, you guys talk a lot of college football. And just to set the stage again so you understand this town, a little bit about this city. This is the capital of college football, all right? It's the capital. It's the biggest college football town in the entire country. It's why the College Football Hall of Fame moved here from South Bend, Indiana, because this is where college football happens, is in Atlanta. It's the crossroads, if you think about it, from all these schools. On any given Saturday, you'll see Tennessee fans driving south and Alabama fans driving east and Auburn fans driving northeast and, you know, Georgia and Georgia Tech and Clemson and South Carolina and the Florida schools. It's just, it's never ending in this town. And fans from all over the country who have migrated here to make Atlanta their home and be part of this college football. It is gigantic here in Atlanta. It may not be out in the Bay Area where they held the title game, but here, man, it's a big deal. So we do talk about it a lot and constantly. Now, I'll grant you, the next season is quite a ways away, but that doesn't mean we're not going to have things to talk about. And one of the things that we're looking at, the season doesn't begin, Hugh, till August 29th, all right? That's that first Thursday night of the year. There's a national TV game to open August 29th in the season, and Georgia Tech gets that honor. It's Georgia Tech at Clemson on national TV to start the season.
Well, I can't wait to that game. Coach Collar's up on his tower. What, first of all, number one, what is this team going to look like? And how stoked is he going to be for that first game, again, that first test? That's going to be a hell of a test for a new-look Georgia Tech football program. That's one hell of a test.
Yeah, with a brand new quarterback, whoever that may be, at the helm, and a new offense and a new coaching staff. But there was a big addition to the coaching staff at Georgia Tech yesterday. Former Georgia Tech offensive lineman Brent Key, for the past 3 years, all Brent Key has been the offensive line coach at Alabama. And Brent Key, who was the offensive line coach for those great Alabama offensive lines for the last three seasons, leaves Alabama and comes to Atlanta to take over the offensive line and assistant offensive coordinator position with Georgia Tech. That's a big win. He's coming home to be with his Jackets again. He couldn't turn it down. And he couldn't be really with Paul Johnson so much because he was a different kind of offensive line coach. But you get a new coach to coach up a new offensive line and you get Alabama's offensive line coach, that's a big deal. It's not a bad start, John.
It's not a bad start. You know, been a three-year head coach for the Alabama line and you've seen what they've been over the years, road graders. Different personnel here at Georgia Tech. Different personnel. So there's going to be, I would think, probably somewhat of a learning curve. I would even venture to say that in the first season, John, speculating, is that there's going to be a lot of power runs, probably a lot of misdirection runs and things of that nature. Might be a little bit of zone read blocking for the smaller, quicker offensive lineman of Georgia Tech. But I tell you this, the one thing I can say, no matter how big or small you are as an offensive lineman, the one thing that all offensive linemen would rather do is run block as opposed to pass blocking all day. They would rather do that. And you know, for for Georgia Tech to have the type of offense that they ran, they're probably more susceptible to run blocking and probably better at it than they are pass protection. So it's going to be he's going to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And one of the interesting things, when that tweet went out, I saw one Georgia Tech fan jumped in and goes, what is Brent Key's relationship with Jalen Hurts? Does Jalen Hurts want another shot at Clemson back-to-back? It was like, I haven't heard Jalen Hurts and Georgia Tech on any list that I've seen. Doesn't mean that Coach Collins wouldn't call him. I'm just saying I haven't seen it on any list. And, boy, if all of a sudden out of the blue, Jalen Hurts chose to come be the quarterback at Georgia Tech, that would be a ginormous win. But I don't know if the offensive line coach has any relationship with Jalen outside of the fact that he was with him on the team for 3 years.
I'm pretty sure that they had some conversations, John. But as a Georgia Tech fans, I'm pretty sure that they're working all the angles. And that might be somewhere that Jalen Hurts might consider going. You never know. I was listening to Rick and John yesterday, and there were a few teams that they threw out there. I think Penn State was one of the teams that I heard them say. It all depends on what he wants to do. Now, when we were talking about it yesterday, we were coming from a standpoint of it just all depends on his comfort. If he wants to be closer to home or if he wants to go out and play for an offense that – is more conducive to him trying to get to the next level. That's what it was. Rick was breaking down the different offenses that the teams ran that Jalen would probably want to go to, like more pro styles and things of that nature, and if he would fit. All that is up in the air. All that is up for grabs as far as where he wants to play. I think he has some time. He has a couple weeks to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got some time. He is in the portal. He is Jalen from Houston. Houston has a new head coach in Dana Horgelson, the former West Virginia coach. TCU is apparently making a bid because he is from Texas. We all know Miami needs a quarterback down there because they haven't been able to solve that issue, and they have a new head coach. And his offensive coordinator from last year is now the head coach at Maryland, and they could use a quarterback. So you're going to have plenty of options. I'll tell you who else is going to have options. Tate Martell. Now, you may know this name. Tate Martell, it was the quarterback in waiting at Ohio State. And he was a prep All-American and whatnot and was going to be the guy that took over for Dwayne Haskins. Up until some guy named Justin decided he wanted to go to Ohio State. And prior to that, Tate Martell was sending out tweets towards Justin Fields saying, you come here and you're good. You don't know what you could lose again. You could be on the bench. And, I mean, all sorts of stuff about, you know, basically saying, don't you dare come here.
Basically, he said something like to the effect that don't swing and miss twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so he was putting this marker down. Tate Martell was, I'm putting this marker down. Justin still went to Ohio State. Yesterday, Tate Martell said, I'm transferring.
Now, I number one, I'm too old to go on this young man's Twitter feed and say anything negative about him. I'm too old for that. I mean, and I'm not going to do that. But I will say this. For you to do all that chirping and nobody's put on a helmet, nobody's thrown a pass, for you to get all up in your feelings and leave that quick, that kind of shows you the kind of cloth that you cut from. And I'm not blaming you, young man. I'm going to put that on your father. I'm going to put that on your daddy for that one. Because when the going gets tough, I'm going to use the old cliche, going gets tough, tough get going. You did all that chirping. You did all that talking about not coming here. And you just showed everybody what it was. That's a perfect example. For all those young men out there that you know, Twitter bullies and stuff like that, when you call a Twitter bully out, you see what they do? That's a prime example for young kids. That's what bullies are right there. What Tate Martell did, kids, that's what bullies do. When it gets tough and you challenge them, they run away. But again, like I said, I'm not attacking the young man. I'm not putting that on him. That's on his daddy.
And so Tate Martell will be leaving Ohio State, and he's going to be, you know, all of a sudden you got to like West Virginia saying, hey, we need a quarterback. And so Tate Martell becomes, you know, the guy. But now Tate Martell, understand this. The waiver that Justin Fields has to get to play at Ohio State that everybody thinks his attorney's going to get, where is Tate Martell's waiver? I don't think Tate Martell's getting any waiver. Tate Martell, I think, is probably going to have to sit out a year.
That's what I'm saying, John. You did all that chirping. You were in line, and you're trying to discourage this young man to go to school at Ohio State, talking about don't swing and miss twice. But all the time you were afraid. All the time you were afraid of his talent. You were afraid of what people said about him instead of just going out and letting it play out. Now, I can see if you let it play out and it doesn't go your way and then you leave, he hasn't even picked a number. I don't think he's not even cleared to play yet, and you're already leaving. That's a bully for you. That's normally what bullies do. When the going gets tough, the bully get gone.
Yeah, wouldn't it be hilarious if Tate Martell, if Tate Martell transferred to, we'll pick a school. Let's say he went to West Virginia because West Virginia needs a quarterback, and he's now at West Virginia, and all of a sudden they come back with a ruling that, Justin Fields didn't clear his waiver, and he has to sit out a year. That would be, I'm sorry, that would be kind of hilarious because Tate Martell would be like, So that would keep your eyes on all of these. You got Jalen Hurts in the portal. You have now Tate Martell in the portal. There's a lot of players in this transfer portal, and where they end up will be very interesting to watch. The free agency, suddenly this portal has become a brand new thing for us because it's fairly new, and this transfer portal is now free agency of college football.
Somebody, I forgot who it was. I can't remember your name, but I apologize for that. But somebody tweeted me and asked, was Antonio Brown in the transfer portal? I thought that was pretty funny. Since he don't want to be.
That's a pretty good line.
He don't want to be in New England. I mean, excuse me. He don't want to be in Pittsburgh anymore. What if he's in the transfer portal?
Yeah. I'll tell you what you're going to be. You're going to be in hog heaven if you win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
tent. T-E-N-T, tent. Tent to 72881. That's the code word for this hour. Tent to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Did not text and drive. 99thegame.com/rules for rules. Tent, T-E-N-T, to 72881. Tent to 72881. You have to 859. Hopefully you win $1,000. The code word for this hour for the national signing bonus is tent, T-E-N-T. We're talking about college football, about some of the quarterback issues around there. Speaking of college football quarterbacks, what's out now is tanking for Tua. What's in now is tanking for Trevor. Remember this. Tua Tagovailoa can go pro next year, okay, at the end of this season. Trevor Lawrence cannot go pro for two more years, all right? Now, Gil Brandt, who was the super scout and grand poobah of the Dallas Cowboys forever and ever, has tweeted out on his Twitter, this, he says, Trevor Lawrence is the best true freshman quarterback I have ever seen. If I was running an NFL team right now, I'd be making as many trades for 2021 as I could get my hands on. In other words, go ahead and start tanking next year and the year after to try to get Trevor on your team. Gil Brandt thinks he is Tom Brady, and if you can get him, you make yourself.
I don't get too excited about one game in the life of a 19-year-old quarterback. I mean, he played well, not taking anything away from him. It's different in the NFL. And if that's what you want to do or if that's what people want to say, that's fine. But it's a process for quarterbacks. Tom Brady was drafted in the 7th round. Tom Brady was a 7th round draft pick. Tom Brady didn't look nowhere near what Trevor Lawrence looks like now when he was playing. But now all of a sudden, because of one game, you are willing to anoint him the best quarterback. You are willing to put your franchise, at stake just to get him because you've seen enough of him to know. What about all the other people that saw Tom Brady play and didn't see this?
No kidding.
Come on, man. I mean, come on. Come on.
Brady in college was a stiff.
Remember how, not everybody has one of these. Remember in high school? That dude that was the man in high school, where he at now? Either one or two things. Either he playing in the pros or whatever sport he played, or he's sitting at the crib talking about what he used to do in high school. That's one of the two because he peaked. Not saying that Trevor Lawrence has peaked, but, you know, just let it play out. That's all I'm saying is just let it play out.
Yeah, we've seen those guys that we knew from the jump the first time we saw them. That they were going to be great NFL quarterbacks. They just jumped off the page. John Elway was that way in college. Troy Aikman was that way. Dan Marino, even though he had a bad senior year at Pittsburgh, his senior year wasn't very good. You could still tell there was talent there. I mean, there's certain guys that just – Peyton Manning. I mean, from the very first time I saw Peyton Manning, and I happened to be lucky and fortunate enough to have been in Neyland Stadium when he played his first game, when he came onto the field for the first time, you could tell that he was going to be that guy. And maybe Trevor Lawrence is going to be that guy. But are you willing to go through 2 years of literal hell to get him? I'll tell you one guy who might. Think about this. Will the Oakland Raiders win a game over the next 2 years? because John Gruden, quarterback guy he is, may be so in love with Trevor Lawrence that he's willing to tank two more years to get Trevor Lawrence. I'm just telling you, there's going to be somebody out there that
sounds like something you would do, John. Just because he beat Alabama, you would let your franchise in turmoil for 2 years just to get him. I'm not about to do that. It's a lot can happen in 2 years. There's a lot could happen.
Well, he's already pretty much, you know, done it. But considering, you know, Khalil Mack and you know, getting rid of Amari Cooper and everything else. Stripping that team as if they are. All right, we've already broken down the Saturday games. Next, we're going to break down the Sunday games in the divisional playoffs.
And if it works out for him with another team. Last year in free agency, John, there were some guys that sat for a little while. So it could potentially be something like that this year. Coaches and GMs and things of that nature, they're not so quick to spend a whole lot of money in free agency like that. There has to be some fits, the right fits and everything. So it's going to be, as far as Antonio Brown's concerned, there's going to be some interest for him, but at what price?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, because he wants serious money. So does, like, you know, Le'Veon Bell. Almost, thought about, Leonard Fournette here for a second. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell wants to be the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, and heck, Pittsburgh offered to make him that and he turned it down. So we'll see. All right, let's get into the Sunday games. We kind of broke down the Saturday games earlier. We're going to break down the Sunday games, which, by the way, will be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK. First game up Sunday, 1 o'clock kick, New England. Here we go with the Patriots again, back in the playoffs against the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers' best road team in the NFL, Hewitt, 8-1 away from home. The Patriots' best home team in the NFL at 8-0 at home. So something there's going to have to give between the Chargers being a great road team and the Patriots being a great home team. And Phillip Rivers said this about playing in Foxborough.
Again, we just found a way. We got to get better, no question. We know the task ahead next week is going to be tough. As always, this team is in this round every year. We know that, and we got to go to their place. So it'll be a heck of a challenge next week.
Yeah, it is a marker, absolutely, for the Chargers. One more from Phillip Rivers talking about his head-to-head matchup with Tom Brady.
No, I'm not playing Tom by any means, but is it special to go to New England against the Hall of Fame coach and arguably the best quarterback ever to play and get another shot at him? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it is. It is special.
All right, so Phillip Rivers has played Tom Brady 7 times in his career. He has won exactly 0 of those 7 meetings, Hugh.
There's been a tough sledding for him, but you're talking about this year is different because I think the L.A. Chargers are undefeated on the East Coast. Like when they had to travel, I think they're like 9-0 or something like that. But 8-1. Oh, excuse me, 8-1. I was close.
Yeah, and the only game they lost was to the Rams up the road at the Coliseum.
Yeah. But I'm saying that's what I said on the East Coast. On the right. East Coast, they're undefeated. So, yeah, coming this way, they've played pretty good. And I think the last time that they met in the playoffs, Sean Merriman was playing, and they knocked him off. Well, LT was also playing. And they got a little upset. So they're looking at a little bit of get back. They're looking at a little bit of get back as far as the Patriots are concerned.
And Tom Brady had one of his worst years as a pro, finishing 12th in the league in quarterback rating, which is very low for Tom Brady. But you have Phillip Rivers being a top 5 quarterback this year in terms of QBR. But Tom Brady, you know, here's my thing on this, Hugh. Father Time is catching up to Tom Brady. A, there's no question about that. He just catches up to everybody. He's not, you know, he just isn't as nimble and quick as he was probably 6, 7, 8 years ago. But second to that is that you can never discount Tom Brady because he is the best postseason quarterback we may have ever seen. I mean, 5 Super Bowls, 27 playoff wins. His numbers are staggering compared to just about anybody else. I mean, staggering. So when you get into a postseason situation, you got to kind of throw the regular season out the window, don't you?
Well, until he gets beat, you still got to give him his respect. That's the bottom line when it comes to Tom Brady. And that's all you can really say about that is that everybody can say what they want to say. You know, he didn't have the standards by his standards. He didn't have the kind of season that he wanted. But, hell, by anybody else's quarterback standards, he had a pretty darn good season. So with that being said, you're in the playoffs against the Patriots at home, and you're asked to beat them. I mean, you were in a dog fight last week with Baltimore, and you're probably going to be in another one this week. But they inked it out, got the win. This is going to be another tough one for them.
Yeah, because of all the storylines in the NFL this year, the ascension of the Bears, the rise of the Rams, the Kareem Hunt bad and Pat Mahomes record smashing of the Chiefs, the drama in Pittsburgh. I mean, for all these for all the storylines, kind of lost in all of the NFL season in terms of being tamped down as a national storyline is the fact that the New England Patriots won 12 games. They won the division again. And by the way, they're going for their third straight Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I mean, when you look at everything and how hard it is to get to the playoffs in the NFL and for them to be a constant in the AFC playoff picture, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Tom Brady talking about the challenge that the lightning bolts seem to bring to this game.
Great football team that's played well on the road all year. And it's going to be our biggest challenge in all phases. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, at some point it's going to end in New England, but whenever it does, they have set a marker that I'm not sure another quarterback on another franchise can match.
Nah. I mean, they have won the division so many times, I can't even remember. It's about 12, 13 times in the last 15 years or something crazy like that. I think the last person to ever sniff the division was the Miami Dolphins, and that was probably the 2000s, 02 or something like that. It was something crazy. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since somebody else has won that division. It really has.
Then the late game, the Philadelphia Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly against the Swampers down in New Orleans. Now, they play back in November. On November the 18th, the Saints won the game 48-7. And a lot of the Eagles, Hugh, were really angry because they said, you know, at 38-7 with, not much time left, here's Sean Payton out there with Drew Brees still on the field, slinging the ball around, kicking field goals, and running up the score.
Yeah. There's a lot of storylines in that first game because I think the Eagles were able to wear white in that game, if I'm not mistaken, because of Sean Payton losing a bet to Coach Peterson, a golf bet to Coach Peterson. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, that was a little bit disrespectful because you already won the game. And then I saw some video this morning that somebody put up where Sean Payton is going around and he's shaking people's hands. And I guess the Philadelphia Eagles fan had his hand out. Sean Payton slapped his hand real strong. Like, Coach Payton has been being disrespectful to people for the last 2 years. For the last 2 years. But going into this game, you got to put, like Coach Billick said yesterday, you have to put pressure on Drew Brees. You have to put pressure on him. But at what cost? At what cost?
Well, the X factor, of course, Napoleon Dynamite. Nick Foles in the incredible run to the Super Bowl last year, unbeaten in the postseason in the last 2 years, and now Nick Foles goes to New Orleans to try and win another game.
It's going to be a tall task this week. You know, New Orleans is, you know, they had a bye week. They're a tremendous team. They had an amazing season, but I love these guys that I get to go play with. I know we're ready for this week, just one day at a time.
All right. Here's a couple of stats. New Orleans has never lost a home playoff game under Sean Payton, okay? Nick Foles, that's 5-0. Nick Foles is 4-0 in his last four playoff games. And as to the current teams, we know that the Saints, 13-3 and number one seed in the NFC. But ever since that wipeout of the Eagles, the spanking they took in New Orleans in mid-November, Hugh, the Eagles have won six of their last seven, including three on the road, where they went at the Rams, at Washington, and at Chicago. I mean, they played pretty darn good football in their own right. If you just look at the last, 7 weeks, their record's every bit as good as the New Orleans Saints over the last half of the season.
Yeah, they've played well. A lot of people are probably going to point to the fact that the first game, New Orleans beat the brakes off them. I do not think that it's going to be that type of game. It's going to be that type of game again. I had a chance to watch some guys talk about that game, Michael Bennett especially. Reporter asked him, he was like, what do you guys got to do, you know, to slow Drew Brees down? And he looked at the reporter, and he was like, what do you think we got to do? like he said it, I'm putting a little bit more mustard on it, but the way he said it, you just knew, you could look in his eyes and tell it. He really wasn't trying to answer that question. Reporter answered the question, and Michael came back and said something to the effect that you should be the defensive coordinator. You got it down. I mean, but bottom line, that's what it is. You had to put pressure on Drew Brees, and this front four of the Philadelphia Eagles have been playing a lot better in the last couple of weeks, but you worry about that secondary. You worry about that secondary of the Philadelphia Eagles. And if they're going to be able to, you know, cover those receivers for the New Orleans Saints.
That'll be an interesting game, won't it, for everybody in Atlanta to watch that at 4:40 on Sunday. All right, those are kind of the breakdowns of the games on Sunday. When we get to the next hour, Thomas Dimitroff, general manager of the Falcons at the top of the hour. Terry Pendleton, Braves great, will join us at 9:20, and we'll make our picks on all these games at 9:40. So that's the 9 o'clock hour ahead. But next, we venture into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, where it's deep thoughts. And I had somebody read me yesterday and tell me about myself. And I'm going to share that with you today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hughes World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
All righty then. You know what it is. It's deep thoughts. Or unfinished thoughts with Hugh Douglas. And right now, before I get into my thoughts, because I have a few of them today, I got to ask AT. AT, so what are we going to do, man? I don't know if anybody remembers this, but a few weeks ago, I think it was last week, Arthur Trish said that he was thinking about running in the Hawks 5K. And I told him that if he made a decision by this week that I would, you know, if he was going to run in it, that I would decide to run in it with him. So, well, AT, I need to know, man, because, you know, I got to start getting ready for this thing.
Well, after much deliberation, I will not run in the 5K because I can't run, but I will walk it.
All right, then. So that means
we're in.
We're gonna do this.
And as a matter of fact, I think a couple of other 92.9 employees will join us. Andy Bunker is one. Daryl Ashurst has said he would participate as well if we did. And Wendy Adams is also going to participate.
And while I have you on the microphone, I have to ask you something else, because I was just invited by this group called Smyrnadelphia to watch the Eagles play this weekend. It's at a place called Varner's Restaurant and Tavern.
Know it well.
And they say it's, you know, they wanted me to come out and watch the game, and I was considering watching it, but you've been there before. Is this the type of atmosphere that you think I would enjoy watching this football game?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they have plenty of TVs, and I hope that they've upgraded their TV volume. In the building, I'm sure they have. It's been a minute since I've been there. It might have been two playoffs ago, but I think you'd like it. I'm debating whether to show up as a renegade, but I'll let you know if I do.
Yeah, let me know. And this morning, I know the auto show, this is the type of, you know, the beginning of the year is when the auto show tends to come out. Detroit Auto Show yesterday, they unveiled the new 2020 Supra, Toyota Supra. Back in the day, if you know anything about cars, the new Toyota Supra, the old Toyota Supra used to be that ride. That's the car that everybody wanted. Supras were really, really nice. I don't know how I feel about this new Supra, though, because it looks a little small. I used to own a Supra. I had a silver Supra that I had when I first got to Philadelphia. Had it all souped up and everything. So they unveiled the new 2020 Toyota Supra. Don't know how I feel about that. I posted a picture of it on my Instagram and my Twitter feed, so you can look at that. But something happened to me yesterday, man, that really got me to thinking. I was talking to somebody about potentially doing some business. You know, I was talking to somebody, and have you ever heard of something called numerology? Has anybody ever heard of numerology? Wendy's heard of numerology.
I mean, I vaguely heard of it, about the science of numbers.
Yes, and how your birthday and numbers in your life kind of make up who you are as a person.
Right.
And so they were telling me about this, right? And so I was like, okay, I'll bite. I just want to see, you know, because it's almost like astrology. And I just wanted to see how close this was to this person knowing the type of person I am. And basically they told me, they said, you're a builder and a teacher. You provide providing foundation in family life is critical for me. They said it's important to me that I'm very selective in my friendships that I build. And they say, I don't make friends very easily. But this is the one that really got me.
What was the last part?
They said, well, I'm very selective about my friends, and I don't make friends very easily. Like, I don't, you know, I'm very selective about the people that I choose to call a friend. And this is the one that really got me. It says, I don't need to be surrounded by a lot of people to be happy. Which I thought was kind of, interesting.
Because you don't go out.
Yeah. And they said, like, as far as my thinking goes, this is, and I laugh because this is kind of like my radio this is my radio thinking. They said my focus is more broad. It's more of a broad, and your thinking is more of a bottom line thinking. It's like it's a broad aspect, but it's more of a bottom line thinking. And for me, A and B always comes to C. It's never anything else. It always has to be C. And it says, I'm a high achiever. This is the problem. And I asked them, I said, so what about my relationships and my dating? And it's like, you're a high achiever. And she said it was either one of two things. Either you're always looking for something better, or you live in Atlanta where there's abundance of women and you're always overstimulated by the number of women that are here. And this one, I said, okay, if I was being honest with myself, I would have to say that I'm probably more of the looking for something better. If I'm being totally transparent, and I know as a person that you kind of have to get out of that, because I've thought back in previous people that I've dated, like when something's happened and it has gone bad, instead of me trying to hang around and fix it, because nobody's perfect, even I'm not perfect, but instead of me trying to go around and fix it, I tend to say, you know what, forget it. And I tend not to want to work on things a little bit. But I thought it was pretty funny how the numbers that in your life correlate to the type of people that you're more compatible with. Because she said my life path was a 4, which is the person that is not thinking about individuals. It's more of just thinking about like a broader perspective, and how I'm not compatible with 3s. I forgot the number she said, but I'm not compatible with 3s, 7s, and some other numbers.
And if you look at like probably women that you dated who are 3s.
Yes, and that's
you're
what
like,
I did.
Oh my gosh, yes, I
no,
dated a 3.
And I did that. And I'm not going to so put true. This person's name out there, but I did that.
I dated a three,
and it was weird because the things that she said about the person that I dated were the exact issues that I had. It was really weird, man. It was really weird. So if anybody's out there know exactly what I'm talking about, this numerology, you know, check it out, because it's really enlightening how close it was to the type of person that I really am. So now,
I just love that you did that.
Yeah. So now I'm about to go get me a bunch of books. I'm about to work on me. I'm about to see.
A bunch of numerology books.
Yes.
Life's
and
help books.
See how I can fix some of these issues that I have with myself.
That's all it took?
Yeah, a couple books. No, because AT, you know how I'm a little skeptical when it comes to all that, you know, tarot cards and palm reading and all that other stuff. But to have somebody that doesn't know you to tell you the type of person that you are, and just by knowing your birthday, I thought that was pretty interesting. I thought that was pretty interesting because that's the way that I think. And I've been trying to, as I get older, to stop thinking in certain terms, but it's kind of hard to do. It's really hard to do. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
What's your sign, by the way?
Leo.
You're Leo?
Yeah.
I'm a Gemini. I had a girl one time on a date, way back in the day before I was ever married, say, what are you? And I said, well, I'm a Gemini. Oh, well, you and I can't ever date. And I went, well, if you put that much stock into astrological signs, no, we can't. No. Okay. Plus, you wasn't that cute. All right, so top of the hour. General Manager Thomas Dimitroff around the corner. What does he have to say about where the Falcons stand now? He's going to join us live next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.